I want us to thank God and bless His name and celebrate His goodness for helping us to receive Jesus Christ on the cross, to the grave, and then out of the grave, and to His presence. I want us to celebrate Jesus Christ for this Resurrection Sunday today, and let's thank God for the life of Jesus Christ on earth here for our salvation. Please open your mouth and let's pray. And bless God for that, for the salvation of mankind through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you spare your Son, your only begotten, unto us for us to receive our salvation. And today, commemorating the Resurrection Sunday, we stand together in awareness of your mercies and your love towards your people, and celebrating how you will raise your Son from the dead and give us that victory of death, oh God, over death, victory over death, victory over the grave, victory over anything that can cause us to get drowned in this life. Jesus Christ has done it all for us. And so this morning, we want to thank you. We want to bless your name. We celebrate your goodness and your mercies. We know for sure that you will enlighten us in the knowledge of your word about who you are to us as a father, and help us to rise and grow in confidence of walking with you in every facet of our lives. Regardless of what the enemy brings our way, we will know one thing, that you are our father. And that is why you let Jesus Christ come on earth here to die for our sins and set us free from the bondage of sin that was weighing us down. Today, we are free because Jesus Christ has resurrected. We bless you, we honor you, and celebrate your goodness in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Happy Resurrection Sunday, everyone. If Jesus Christ could not be kept down there, then you are also coming out in the mighty name of Jesus. If Jesus Christ would not be able to be kept down there, then we also have a reason to rise up by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So today, the power of resurrection is working for you. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I want you to seriously open your heart and your mind to what we're going to be talking today about, because it will form a strong foundation for your prayer life. Hallelujah. It's going to form a very strong foundation for your prayer life. It is something that will help you to cement and make reality of some issues concerning your life when it comes to prayer, so that when you take your time to say, I am praying to God, you will understand automatically what you are dealing with. The matter of intensity and of a greater necessity. Because this thing that we are talking about, I have told you several times that I started ministry around at the age of 12. I have worked through many men of God, and I've spoken through, I've had men of God speaking to me in many facets, through the pulpit, the Bible, through whatever. And yet, I have sat down carefully to understand that most of them have not gone down deep like this to draw my attention to some of these facts. Hallelujah. And though I had worked in the capacity as an intercessor or a lead of intercessors or a minister who was in charge of intercessory department of one of the powerful ministries in this world, in this world, to be honest with you, yes, the place that I was one of the most powerful prayer ministries in this world. Hallelujah. I've never seen any ministry that has that kind of the leader that had that kind of lead of power and potency of prayer. He has taught prayer for the past 40 years, 40 years, and he's a man of prayer. Hallelujah. And the Lord put me under him to learn a lot of things and be able to also understand the depths of how prayer needs to go. And the Spirit of God has added to this value that he decided to create in me concerning prayer. So what I'm bringing to you today is a matter of about almost 25 to 32 years of investment in learning of prayer. So please, I'm begging you for the mercies of God's sake that you open your heart and pick up a pen and paper so that we go into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. So we have been dealing with, from January till now, we have been dealing with prayer. And we have dealt with some of the facets that Jesus Christ will help us to eliminate so that the place of hindrance to prayer will be taken care of. And then we can assume the position of sons and daughters of the kingdom of heaven. So that when we are speaking, we speak from the kingdom's perspective. And when we are praying, we pray with the understanding of the kingdom mindset. So that every child of God, your words are not wasted, but rather invested. Hallelujah. And so he came to this point of teaching us the model of prayer, how the prayer preambles needs to be in our prayer closet when we go on our knees to pray. These are the things that are supposed to be found in the words that comes out of our lips with the understandings of our minds when we are praying to God, the Father of the universe. Hallelujah. And so he started by saying in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. We have already spoken about how we should not pray, which we took some from Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5. We took some from Matthew chapter 6 from verse 1. We took some from Matthew chapter 6 from verse 7 to verse 8. And today we are in verse 9. You see the depth of the Word of God. We from January till now, how many months now? That is, we have clocked 3 months now, and we only started from chapter 5 coming, and we haven't gone any far. Hallelujah. Because what we are studying is so detailed, because Jesus Christ gave them to us concerning the kingdom. Amen. And so he says that this is how you have to pray. This is the manner you have to pray. So those of you on Power Radio 96 today that you are listening to me, listen to me carefully, please. I'm begging you, those of you who can invite your friends and families to tune in, tell them that we are studying about how to pray. How to pray. This is what Jesus Christ taught us. He was with the Father, and therefore, if he is teaching us how to access the Father, it's of a great importance. Amen. So after this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is only one verse. This is only one verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus is drawing our attention to the fact that if we are coming on our knees in prayer, the first priority which we should have in our mind is that we are coming to a father figure. So he said that this is how you should start your prayer. He said, our Father. Let me take a moment to explain something here. He opened the portals of understanding of the fatherhood figure to us. And again, opens our understanding to the position that it is not only us who have the right to claim God as a father, but rather opens everybody to the access of the Father. So he started by saying that we should have a sense of unity of purpose when we are on our knees to prayer. And so he says that our Father. Our Father means that he is not only the father of Reverend McCarthy Ejare here speaking to you today. Neither is he the father of only my brother Nana who is listening to me live here. or the father of only one person somewhere, say that, oh, he's only my father. No, but rather we should have at the back of our mind that he is the father of all, the father of the universe, the father who created all things and hold all things in his power. And he described the place of the father. And then the way we should approach him, he said, hallowed be thy name. So today, my assignment is to show you our father. That's all. Because if we want to take all the three together, which art in heaven, that is the position of the father and other, it's too much to digest only for today. It's too much. And so let us pick up our father alone. Hallelujah. Our father alone. Let's take some time on there and let's see what the Spirit of God will give to us. He spoke to us coming to the position knowing that he is a father. The Bible says in Isaiah 63, verse 16, it says that doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel or Jacob does not acknowledge us, thou, O God, art our father, our redeemer, and thy name is from everlasting. The prophet is drawing our attention to the position that no matter who does not acknowledge us, or who ignores us, or who does not permit us to even experience the glory of the Father, he says that no matter what happens to us, for sure he is our Father. So when you are coming to him with this mindset, you know that you don't care about what men think about you. You don't want to care about even those who biologically gave birth to you and have decided not to acknowledge who you are. The word of the Lord says that when we are coming to him, we should have him as a surety that he is a father figure to us. Hallelujah. And so if the Hebrew is talking about a father figure that God is to us, he is talking about him as Abba. Hallelujah. I think I'm getting the feedback in some places, please. So please, if there is any noise anywhere, with all due respect, please, can you hold it down for me a little bit? Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that God loves us with an everlasting love as a father. And we never have to be afraid of that. He loves us completely as a father. How many, if we men would do anything as our biological children will come to us, just as before I came here, the kids came to me and said, Dad, I want to eat. And I had to stop. Like last week, it happened. And it happens every week. They will bypass their mother and come to me, ready praying and trying to get my spiritual destiny. They don't care about that. They came to me, they want food. And they describe the kind of food they want. I want hot chocolate and bread with honey in it. I want hot chocolate and bread with chocolate in it. I want hot chocolate and bread with butter in it. I want hot chocolate with no butter and all that. All kinds of demands and everything. Why? And they know for sure that when they ask the Father, he is prepared to provide for them. So when they come to me, they know that it is safe to trust me to give them a food that will make them nourishable or their lives being nourished. And they know that I delight in them as a father, and I'm joyfully being willing to make sure that their lives are being taken care of so they don't care. Hallelujah. Family, today I want you to realize this, that the Father is calling you to the place of sonship or a daughter position. We have to realize this, that the Father is prepared to do anything for us. And so the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, said, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. This alone can give me about 1 hour, 2 hours of talk about the kingdom. If God decides that he has chosen to love me as a little flock and gladly to give me his kingdom, it means that I have a lot of possession. Hallelujah. I have a lot of possession. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says that for those whom he foreknew, he predestinated to become and conform to the image of his son, so that he will be the first among many brethren, which means that God has grafted me in the commonwealth of heaven as one of the brothers of heaven. So I'm not an ordinary child. Did you hear what I said? You are not an ordinary child.
Amen.
So the father figure opens us to a particular place that talks about one, his maturity. Number two, his masculinity. Number three, his measurability. Number four, his personality. Number five, his responsibility. I'll take it again. The father figure of God as Abba, as our source, opens the talk of him, of about his maturity, about his masculinity, about his measurability, about his personality, and about his responsibility to me and to you as his child, as his daughter. Hallelujah. So let's take them one after the other. As a father, as our father, in maturity, for anyone to be called a father, the person must be matured. It is not about being able to sleep or with a woman and produce a child, no. But it is by the ability to have what it takes, the maturity to know that you are producing offsprings after your kind. And so the Bible says that Abraham, I know him that he is matured enough to raise his children after him. So for God to be our father, it shows about his capacity and capability in place of maturity as a God who knows it all. He understands the position as a father. And his position in maturity opens us to the place that he receives us. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says that, see what love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called among the Kratos. Hallelujah. It says, see how great love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because they didn't know him. So me and you listening to me today, the Lord has called you his child. No matter what, and no matter what things anyone thinks about it, or any pastor decides to relegate you or put you on the back burner, please don't think about any of such things. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says that the Lord has shown you a great love, and he has positioned you in a place as a child that belongs to him. So anyone that makes any evil attempt on you, they are attempting something that is dangerous. Hallelujah. God sees you as his child. So when I'm on my knees to pray today, when I'm willing to go before him, I am going before a father who called me son. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little bit. A few days ago, I went to visit my father, one of my fathers. And I went there, I called him, I was on my way, and I sent him a text. Now, Papa, I'm passing through the house. It was late in the night, around 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, thereabout. And you know what? He stayed awake. He stayed awake. He was supposed to go to bed. He stayed awake to wait for me to come. And I spent some time with him over there for a couple of 2 to 3 hours before I left him. When I was leaving the place, it was past 11. And he didn't flinch. He didn't worry about me there. He waited for me. He didn't go to sleep. He waited for me. He's a father. He adopted me. And so he gave me the audience of his power. His maturity showed in my face so that me walking into his house, I knew that I was protected. Hallelujah. As a father to him in his position as maturity, he disciplines me. That's point number two. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 to 11 says that the Lord is the one that disciplines us. And so when we go before him as a father, he knows how to deal with the matters concerning our life. If we are in the wrong, he puts us in the right place. I'm so concerned about the fathers of today. When their children are making an error and they can't talk to their children. Hallelujah. They cannot say anything to their children when they are making an error. Oh, it's all right. I know of a father that the daughter was messing about and destroying and biting people and said that, oh, it's a self-defense. I said, my brother, this is not self-defense. The child is having crisis and messing about. Correct the child from now that it is not cool to bite a friend or bite somebody that you are having an act. Don't. But we, as his children, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 to 11, the Lord corrects us when we are in the wrong. Hallelujah. Number three, he forgives our sins. The Father has in him the ability to let go of whatever wrong that me and you will present before him. So as a child, when I do my mess about and my misbehaviors and all that, and then I come and say, Father, I now know what I've done wrong and all that. It is in his capacity as a matured father to say, I let go. Hallelujah. I know of some fathers who will not let go of the errors of yesterday or even the mistakes of yesterday and try to hold it so strong and so firm against their children, and they will not let go. They will not let go. The Bible says that, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord God loves, the love of God is with those who fear him and his righteousness with his children. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 12, it says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my iniquity and transgressions from me. So when I am in the wrong, the Lord has in his capability as a matured father to take my sins away. If I come to him, hallelujah.
Amen.
He forgives our sins. Point number four. He rejoices over us when we repent of our errors and our sins and come to him, according to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is capable of forgiving me all my sins and is capable to rejoice over me when I repent of my sins. And point number five, in the position as a matured father, he gives me access to his throne. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says that, let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive grace and mercy and find grace to help us in times of our needs. So God, as a matured father, opens me to have access to his throne. So maturity in God as a father helps me to have a sense of comfort to know that God has got my back. So when I'm on my knees praying, I don't have to have a second doubt. My assignment today is trying to help you to remove the second thought in your mind about God when you are going before him, thinking that the errors of yesterday prevails more than who God is to you to receive an answer to your prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you something today. That he is a father, and his position as a father gives you the right to be able to come to him even with your mess. So let's go to the point number two, that God as a father in his masculinity, and his masculinity opens us to his love. Hallelujah. It opens us to his love. Hallelujah. I said what? It opens us to his love. And every father, a genuine father, a good father, has got in them their love. Moshan de Kratos. They have a love in them that they show to their children. Oh, Lord Almighty. Sometimes some father goes to some extent to do some crazy stuff. Amen. Which Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says so. So don't be afraid, little children, for your father has chosen gladly to give you his kingdom. Hallelujah. And it is in him that he has given us what it takes to be able to access the kingdom of God without fear. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, it says that, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, because we are sons. And God has sent forth his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying that we can shout, say that he is father to us. We say, Abba, father. And therefore, we are no longer slaves. He has shown us his love. Hallelujah. He has grafted us in him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Again, the masculinity of God opens us to the ability for him to lead us. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
He can lead us. The Bible says in Psalm 23, he said, though he leads us in the valleys of shadows of death, his rod and his staff will comfort us. Why? Because he is with us in every place, and that is the place of a father figure. He makes sure that he allows his children to also experience a taste of kind of a mature activity. So, for example, when my little girl was growing up, and I remember I took her to one of these play areas, and she wanted to climb, you know, those ropes that they climb to get up to a place and then they zip up down. And she was just two, but the desire and the drive in her, she wants to climb. And I gave it up. I said, go on. And I was standing there and I was thinking as she was doing, and then she slipped. My instinct was going to catch her. And I said, no, if I do that, fear will be instilled in her, thinking that I'm always there to catch her. So I have to develop that thing in her to know that though daddy is there, but he will not let me down. And I made sure that whatever she was doing, I guided her. I said, please put your feet here, put your foot there. And then all of a sudden, hallelujah, all of a sudden she mastered courage because she saw that daddy was standing there. Hallelujah. So the father, the masculinity of me, allowed me to train her in a way of confidence, to have confidence in herself, to know that she could do it. And she was able to do it. The first time her mom saw that she was doing that, hey, be careful, oh, hey, and go and, I said, listen, allow, I know what I'm doing. Because I had already tested of that. So the masculinity of the side of the father helps us to gain a sense of leadership in our lives. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Point number three. He also imparts wisdom to us as a matured and as a father who has got the capacity to lead us. Number four, He provides correction and demonstrates guidance to his children. So when you are dealing with God, don't think that he is so wicked and he's so blatantly diabolical that whatever wrong that you've done, he is willing to crush you and destroy you completely. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, say, if you, then you are evil as a father, as a flesh father, okay? Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? So it is important to realize that when we are coming to the Father, he has in him the masculinity to love us, the ability to lead us, the power to impart wisdom in us, and also the willingness to provide correction and demonstrate guidance to us. Hallelujah. That's two positions that we have explained so far. As a father who is mature, as a father who is masculine, and now let's go to a father who is measurable. If I'm talking about this in measurability, his measurability, to our understanding, it opens us to this fact, one, that he will provide for his children. That's a fact. This one, we cannot negotiate on it to think that God cannot provide for us. No. He will provide. So it's a place that we can measure God in terms of our necessities. Philippians chapter 4. How many of you can quote that scripture for me? Philippians 4, 1, 9. I want somebody to help me out. Please, you've been listening to me for a while. I've been quoting a lot of scriptures. Philippians 4, 1, 9. How many of you can go give me that scripture? Amen. Somebody should help me with that scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Please open your Bible and do it now. Hallelujah. Our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Is that true? Is that true? Hallelujah. So the measurability of God opens us to the understanding that we, as his children, we know for sure that he will provide all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So none of us will be eliminated or will be lacking any good thing when we call upon his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, about his measurability, it opens our understanding to the fact that he will protect his children. Yeah. He will protect his children. Yeah. God will not abandon you. Yeah. He will not abandon you. I will say it again. God will not abandon you so that he might redeem those who are under the law. So wherever you are, in Galatians chapter 5, which we spoke earlier on, wherever you are, he will make sure that redemption speaks for you so that whatever challenge that you are in, you are not taken by the enemy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, it says that, oh, sing, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter of Zion. The Lord has taken away your punishment. Haman dukratas. Hambe sovroskaba. And he has turned back your enemies. Yes, the Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again, Moshon da kratos somatis. Never again will you fear any harm. Is the Lord protecting you? Is he speaking to you from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14? He said, never again, never again will you fear any harm. On that day, the Lord will say to Jerusalem, do not fear. And to Zion, do not let your hands hang limp. Oh, I love that. He will take delight, great delight in you. And in love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice with you with singing. God,
amen.
As a father, and his measurability, this position, it can never be argued. It can never be argued. He says that, do not, he said, never again will you ever fear any harm. Never again. So the word of the Lord is of a surety, knowing that God to us, we can measure him in his protection. This gives me assurance. This encourages my heart that when I'm going before God, I know that he's a God who is ready to receive me. I know that he's a God when I'm even in the wrong, he will discipline me. I know that he's a God who can forgive me. I know that he's a God who can rejoice over me. I know that he can give me access before him. I know that he loves me, whatever the situation may be. I know that he has the ability to lead me. I know that he can provide for me. I know that he can impart wisdom for me. The Bible says so, that anyone who lacks wisdom, he should ask of me. And I, the Lord, I will give, and I'll give liberally. Hallelujah. I know that he will correct me and demonstrate his guidance towards me. Hallelujah. And he will provide for me, and he will protect me. The next point that I'm going to share with you on the place of his measurability is that he will encourage me. The Lord will encourage you as his children. So when the world is beating at you with all kinds of negativity and all people laying you down, telling you that you can't do it, the word of the Lord says that don't be afraid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. That statement alone, fear not. It's a word of encouragement. According to statistics and those who have been doing those kind of research, they say that there are about 365 fear not in the scriptures that the Lord has spoken to his children with that, which means that every single day of the year, there is a statement of encouragement to my heart telling me that I should not be afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Family, we serve a great and a living God. I don't know how many of the gods in this world, the God of fertility, the God of the sun, the God of money, the God of favor, the God of what? Of progress, the God of the sun, the God of the moon. I don't know how many of them that can speak these kind of words to their leaders or to their followers. No. But the word of the Lord says that God is capable of encouraging me. Hallelujah. So no matter where I am, he has my back. Amen. Again, point number four or number five on measurability of God, that he will help me when I cannot help myself. God will help you when you cannot help yourself. Hallelujah. Whatever we are going through as a people, we have to realize God is there to help us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Again, he will embrace us as friends. Point number six. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These things that we are learning today, family, I'm teaching you from the book number five that is coming out. Maybe in 2 years' time. I hope that it comes out earlier than that. But it is here that I'm teaching you only our Father. That sentence alone is what I'm teaching you about today. And as our Father, point number four, his personality speaks about one. His supreme power that none in the universe comes close. No one in the universe comes close. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the seas, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle on the land, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth. And God created man in his image. So my God is the supreme power in this universe that nobody comes close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Are you there with me today?
Yes, we are.
Again, number two, his position, his personality opens his position to me as the governor of the universe. Mosambra te korosa. That no one voted him to power, and nobody can ever vote him out of power. Yeah. Nobody voted God into power, and no one can ever vote him out of power. Basunde kratos obos shadaya. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 will help us to understand that. So, Father, the heavens of heavens are created by you. Yes, the heavens of heavens are created by God. So when he stands alone, unchallenged. When he stands as the governor of the universe. When he can command everything and anything in between. When he controls and have everything. Nobody can question what he says and what he does, because he's the one that has all things and all power under his control. Yes. Number three, that his personality speaks about his power that made us spiritual being as him. Yeah. His personality made us a spiritual being as him. Number four, his willingness to hear and answer our prayer. According to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, his personality also opens his creativity in the universe. According to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, his personality speaks about his integrity to creation. Yes, yes, his integrity to creation. Yeah. Number six. Or seven, I don't know where I am now. But our Father's personality speaks about his loyalty to his children. Yes, his loyalty. He's a loyal father, and he's willing and prepared to help us, to help us in all. Hallelujah. The Bible says, our God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all, he is with us. Hallelujah. So his Amen. Personality speaks of his loyalty to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the last part of the personality of God speaks about his compassion towards his people. Psalm 103, verse 13 will speak about that. And John chapter 14, verse 16 will also help us to understand the capacity of his compassion towards his people. Hallelujah. I want you to know, family, that no matter where you are, and no matter what you do, and no matter what you believe in, remember that God has got your back. So when you are going on to him in prayer, remember that he is with you no matter what. And today, the last point, as our Father that we speak about, is his responsibility to us, which centers in three capacities. First, his responsibility to us covers our spiritual essence, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His responsibility to us covers our soulical capacities. So the area of our soul, he's the one that saves our soul. According to Psalm 119, verse 25. And the last point is about our body. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That his capacity and responsibility is to make sure that we walk blameless and our physical body is in good shape and in good health. So families, today, if you are listening to me today, the Lord has prepared everything to his advantage to make sure that we walk in the place of freedom, knowing him as our Father. God desires that we know him as such. That is why he has revealed himself knowably to us in different capacities and different ways. And God will listen to us when we pray. He desires us to truly experience his presence every time we are on our knees. We can study the word and we'll know him intimately. If we know God, if we obey his commandments and his words, he will show himself strong to us. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, it says that thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, and let not the rich also boast in his riches, but let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, God. I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. Last week we spoke about this scripture. If for these things I delight myself in. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are from God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6 says we are from God. And God listens to us. And whoever is not from God, God does not listen to the person. So if you are on your knees going praying to God, the Lord will listen to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that he will give us a heart to know that he is the Lord, and he shall be our God, and we shall be his people. According to Jeremiah 24, verse 7, said that we shall be his people. Hallelujah. So please, not at any point let any situation or anyone damn you or make you feel as if that you do not value to God, or there is no value in you, and there is no error, and there is no sin, no matter what. A brother told me, hey, listen, my Scottish friend said to me that, Mark, I said to you that God loves you, my brother. God loves you, and is prepared to help you, to raise you up, to become a genuine, a good person. He said, listen, the errors and the sins of my life, God can never forgive me. And I said to him that, listen, you'll be shocked if I can tell your eyes, to open your eyes to this fact, that your sin is like a drop of water in the ocean to God's love. That the love of God can drown all your fears on whatever you have done in this life. Hallelujah. His presence will go with us no matter where we are. He will make sure that he will give us what it takes to help us to stay strong with him and walk with him. So please, God, as our Father, is not expecting us to believe that he does not exist. We should doubt that he is not there. Hallelujah. But we should have this at the back of our mind as a recap, that he's a matured father. His masculinity gives us his measurability and opens us to his personality and gives us understanding about his responsibility. And these five capacities gives us the full picture, knowing that God is willing to help us in times of need when we call upon him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see, there's a lot to learn when it comes to prayer. And this has not been taught the church properly. And that is why our prayers has been too long and too little of results. We have to shout too loud, and yet he cannot hear us. We have to spend long hours, and still we can't see his glory. And that is why today I came to open your mind to the position of him as a father to us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he will receive you when you call on him. If you make an error, he will discipline you. He will forgive you. He will rejoice over your repentance. He will give you access to his presence. He will love you. He will lead you. He will provide. He will impart you with wisdom. He will provide correction. He will demonstrate guidance. He will provide for you. He will protect. He will encourage. He will help. He will embrace. and realize that he walks in the supremacy and nobody can challenge him anywhere. He's unchallenged. His power opens us to his to our spirituality as him. He is willing to lead and answer our prayers. He's a creative God in this universe, and therefore whatever is complicated to us, he knows how to create things to make things happen. His integrity is intact and is never compromised. His loyalty or his loyal heart to us is always intact, and he has compassion towards us. And his concern about our spirituality, his concern about the capacity of our soul, and his concern about our health in our bodies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God bless you today, and I pray that may this message speak volumes to your heart in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
That is what the Lord sent me to come and share with you today. I want us to pray and ask him, the Lord, open my eyes to you as a father and open my heart to accept within me without a shadow of doubt that you are my father. That from today, whether the biological one accepted me before he died or be still alive, you are my father. I don't care what man says. I don't care what people say. You are my father. I want us to take this moment and make some prayers in Jesus' name. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment of opening our understanding to this fact that you are our Father, you are our Abba. And we thank you, O God, that from today, you are cementing this fact and this reality in our spirit, that no matter what comes our way, we know that you are Father who cares. Whether our fathers, our biological fathers, are alive or not, you gave us to them as custodians of stewardship. But truly, we came from you. And so from today, let this grace be settled in us strongly, that no matter what goes on around our life, we will settle on this matter that you are our Father. You said that you have begotten us. You will be with us according to Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. That your presence will go with us everywhere we go, and we shall find rest in you. So today, help us to cement this thing in our soul permanently. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.